You know, when I preach each Sunday, there's something that I have in mind, and often it's this one thing. It comes out of 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, and it says, "We all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." You see, here's the thing. True gospel change of a person's character comes from a steady glazing at the glory of Jesus. 2 Corinthians, what it's actually saying is, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are becoming transformed into His image. We become like what we treasure when we spend enough time focusing on Him. See, some say seeing is believing. You've heard that, haven't you? Well, I'm going to tell you that seeing is becoming. You become like what you behold. And let me repeat that. You become like what you behold. See, my goal in preaching is this. If I aim for us as a church to be transformed from one degree of glory to another degree, to become more and more like Jesus, then what I need to do as a pastor is to keep your eyes focused on Him. Now, here's what I do understand, is that we need, in 2020, need to see Jesus. Now, 2020 is going to have a lot of distractions for us. It's this political race that I hear about that is going on in our country today. There's going to be more news than ever before about an election coming up. There's going to be issues in your own life that you're looking at. Well, what's happening with my finances? How can I do better? By the way, in January, at the latter part of the month, we're going to be having a financial series that you could be a part of, Dave Ramsey's. It's in a bulletin. You look that up, sign up, be a part of that. It will bless you and generations to come as the Lord tarries in your life. But I also know that we will be facing health issues. We'll be facing family issues. We'll be facing job issues. But there is something about Christ that I want us to be focused on as we come into this year and into the next year. What we need a perseverance of Christ in the face of affliction. We need the energy and the strength of Christ in the face of exhausting pressure. We need the wisdom of Christ in the face of the complexities of life and within each and every one of our ministries. We need the stability of Christ in the midst of a rapidly social and political and personal changes that is happening all around us. And we need that assurance of a sovereign authority of Christ ministering in our lives, because our culture and our world is sliding further and further away from what is true. So we need to keep our eyes upon Him. And 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You see, this is the testing ground. We are looking at Him and seeing Him little at a time as this veil is being taken away from our eyes. Now, when we enter into His presence, is that when that total transformation happens. But right now, He says, there's something that I want you to be aware of. I want your eyes wide open. I want you to know that there is something that you could see in me working in the world around you. Sometimes we think that we are all alone or things aren't working out at all, but I want you to know, family of God, nothing that ever occurs in your life catches him off guard. He's aware of it, and when he says that he works all things together for good, he means it, church. Even those miserable moments of your life, he says, I am going to work this into your life. I read a book called Halfway, and it was a great book about what God is able to do. And he said, now, book, there is nothing wasted in our life. He uses everything. So listen to me, church. He wants us to be focused upon him. He wants us to see him who he is. So what I want to do this morning, as we come to the close of 2019, it just seems like it just started, doesn't it? And this is the last Sunday. Wham, it's gone. But as we go into 2020, I want us to be more focused. And I want to use Revelations, the first chapter. I want us to linger on this glazing or gazing upon that figure of Jesus Christ in our lives. Is that it's more than just seeing is believing, as I said. It's seeing is becoming. Now, you become what you behold. Say that with me. You become what you behold. Now, I want us to take a look at John in his exile, John the Revelator, and John's vision. Now, listen to this. According to the second part of verse 9 in Revelation chapter 1, John states why he was exiled. And it's amazing to me because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Do you realize that John is the only disciple that was not martyred? Now, he was tried to be boiled to death. They try to put him in exile on an island with criminals and thieves and murderers. But yet he was there because he spoke the word of God. Now listen here, church. Jesus is so real and precious in John's life that he would rather be exiled on a barren island than not talk about Jesus Christ. See, John, when he gazed upon Jesus long enough, he started to become like him. Now, are you ready for this? Now, this may be a little bit uncomfortable to read sometimes, but listen to this. Obedient fellowship was more important than the comforts of life for John. Let me read that again. Obedient fellowship was more important than the comforts of life. You see, here's something that really amazes me with John. See, he has this vision. And he does so that he's speaking this vision to the seven churches. It was given to him. And that vision is more than just something that is, something he ate the night before and he's having these dreams. God gave him a vision for the seven churches, but more so, he's given that vision for us as well. So here is where it gets very interesting. John's on this island with all of these thieves, murderers, criminals. And what do we see in the very beginning of the book of Revelation, verse 10, says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This means that on his Sunday, that as he was in that island, that he was so lost in the very presence of God, his environment around him had absolutely no influence about that fellowship and that relationship with God. Then all of a sudden, he's there in that fellowship with God. He is lost in the Spirit and worshiping him. It's like this morning in that worship. Isabel, that was great worship. I love being lost in his presence. There are times as I'm playing those congos, I forget you're there. I forget she's leading. I'm just lost in the presence of God. Is that it's so precious. John is experiencing this precious relationship with an almighty God. Then, with a loud voice, here's what comes forth out of verse 11, about verse 10. Behold, he heard behind him a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Now, anybody could ignore that? Anybody? No. He could not ignore the voice of God speaking to him. It was like a trumpet that was blowing. And verse 11 says, here's what that voice said to him. Write in the book what you see and send it to the seven churches. It means that John had this vision that meant that not only was he to just write this to that church, but he of those seven churches, but he's writing this down so we be recorded for you and for myself in this 21st century. John wanted us to experience, God wanted us to experience what John was encountering in his own life. Now, this is not an easy thing. Write what you see. Now, it's easy to write what you hear. If someone's saying something, you just write what they said. But when you're writing what you see, is that it comes by your own interpretation of what you are seeing. And it's not easy to do, but it is possible because why? John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Jesus did not intend that he didn't care about those seven churches, but he wanted to write this down because he wanted John to have this vision and he wanted us to have this book. You see, that very beginning of that chapter was talking to you. God had you in mind. We're reading it, and he says, oh, this is for the seven churches. This is for the 21st century church as well. This is more specifically that I look at this. This is for Chandler First Assembly. And God says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church because he cares about what is going on. Now listen, church. Don't misinterpret that God didn't care about those churches because he did, because he told them to write it down instead of going to visit each and every one of them himself. But it is so important because he wants to come to us in and through his word. He wants us to seek him in and through his word. He wants us to know him by his word. He wants us to gaze upon him steadily through his word. And when we do, the Lord stands forth from that word that we see who he is. Church, he wants to reveal himself to us. See, the primary way of gazing on Christ today is through the Word of God. Sometimes what we do is that we're getting ready to come to church and maybe, well, if you even bring your Bible, because most of you have your Bibles in your phones. But do you know where that app is? Have you opened that app recently? Have you marked it, color-coded? You could do all those things. Have you allowed that Word of God to become active and alive within you? Or do you know more about who's playing today. My daughter is an incredible Steeler fan. She sent me a list of who has to win and who has to lose for the Steelers to be in the playoff. And it was like four or five different things. And I wrote back to her after she read it, and I said, in a partridge tree or something of that sort. It was confusing to me. Yeah. But we know more about all types of stuff. But what is God saying to you? I haven't done it recently, and I probably need to start doing it more to you. I used to, when I greet people saying, how are you? I'm saying, what's the Lord saying to you? Well, maybe I slow down on saying that because your eyes glaze over. Or you have, you know, this shoulder issue. You go, I don't know, you know. But you know that he wants to talk to you? And I'm not talking about you hearing audible voices. I've never heard an audible voice of God. Some have. But I'm telling you, I've never have. But I read this word out loud. And when I read this word, I see the incredible, hear the incredible voice of God. It is like that trumpet blowing and saying, listen to me. Pay attention what I am saying to you here. Because I have something to share with you that is extremely important. He wants to talk to us. This is not just for John the Revelator. This is not just for those seven churches. This is speaking to us as individuals. So Jesus, we see there in Revelation, the first chapter, 20th verse, that he's standing in their midst. Verse 20 says, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw within my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So the vision of John is, well, the vision of Jesus is that he sees him standing in the midst of the churches. Christ is standing in the midst of those seven churches. Do you not think that he's not in the midst of us this very day when we just celebrated the birth of Christ, when we use that one word so many times that you've heard it again and again, Emmanuel, God with us? He wants us to know that he is there in our midst. And as I am focusing on the end of the year, I am looking forward to a coming year and thinking, Lord, what is it that you so desire to reveal to us in 2020? He cares about what is going on. He begins by recording, by telling us that Christ was about to look at us in the midst. He is among the churches. He's not far away. He moves among the lampstands. He's trimming the wick. He wants us to glow that message of Christ in each and every one of our lives. He sees us. He is like this word says, one like the Son of Man. The Son of Man is ascribed to him often. We see about this that is written in the book of Daniel, where it's spoken of that he was a son of man, or one like the Son of Man. Listen to this. It's in Daniel, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. I saw the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of the heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, and all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. What he is saying is that he is that one who is in our midst, and he has that dominion of glory upon him. If I want to experience experience that glory of God, I need to focus on Him. I need to see who He is. He is a kingly power, authority over all nations. I want to know the one who has authority over something more than my city or more than my state, more than my country. I want to know that one who has an authority over the world, over the universe that we exist in. He wants us to know, and that kingdom shall never be destroyed. It will always be there with us. He cares about who we are as a people. And then we look at Him as how He is clothed. That word tells us in verse 13 that He is clothed with a robe reaching to His feet and girdled across His breast with the golden girdle. That robe reached to His feet is spoken of in the Old Testament often. That robe is of the high priest, and he is that one that has that gold upon his chest, is that one who is the high priest. Then he comes, and knowing that he has all authority and all dominion. Church, don't get yourself caught up in the issues of today. Don't get yourself so worried and anxious about who's going to be elected or what kind of job that you're going to be having or if you're going to get a raise or all these issues that is around you in your world today. He wants us to focus on Him. I'm not saying that we ignore those things. It's a reality of life. It's kind of, you know, we got to eat. We need a place to live. But when we focus so much upon that other stuff, it takes our eyes off of Him, because He is what? Our Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide within our lives. His word tells us in verse 14 that His head and His hair was white as wool and like snow. Kind of like that. This is remarkable when we see this. Because you see, the culture in the world in which we live in today is that age is not something that we embrace. And the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 16:31, a white head is a crown of glory. Leviticus says, you will rise up before the white head and honor the face of the old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You see, it's not only do we times look at those who are getting older and thinking, what do they have to offer? We also associate that with God is saying, he's kind of old. He really doesn't understand what's going on in our modern day and age in which we live in. I don't know how we associate that, but we do. But I want us to know, church, that he is the Ancient of Days. He knows the beginning to the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He cares what is going on in our lives. And here's the thing that I love. When I read that first chapter of the book of Revelation, when I begin to see that he is in our midst, and all of his wisdom, all of his authority, all of his sovereignty. Verse 14 says, his eyes were like a flame of fire. You ever look at someone and you say, man, you're tired, aren't you? Because their eyes are drooping, you know. They're wore out, they're bloodshot from just the weariness of the day. I seen that yesterday. I looked at Tyler. He was up for over 24 hours. And then that poor kid was in a trance, you know. He was so happy that Jubilee was here, but he was wore out, tired. And he didn't even deliver the kid. Well, when we look in the eyes, it's like the flame of fire that's there. There is that energy. There is that focus. There is that hope. Is that because God knows and sees all things? We think that wondering where he is within our lives, but he knows exactly where you are. And he says, I could use you right there, because he knows his potential. He knows what he can do. And in 2020, whatever 2020 may bring us, God is in the midst of that. And he is bringing that fire of hope, that fire of life, that fire of directing us in every arena of our lives, because he wants to be a part of everything. Nothing escapes him. What we have a habit of doing is that we segregate our life. Here's my family life. Here's my daddy life. Here's my mommy life. Here's my work life. Here's my casual life. And somewhere around there, we put in there and says, and here is my church life. And even in that, I get kind of worried, because we just make it a part of all those other things. A couple years ago, I had an opportunity to lead a Hindu to God. And it was such a wonderful experience. And Pastor Roy Cherian, I told him that. He says, man, it was great. I was praying with this Hindu. And in that prayer, I asked that he would make Jesus a God of his life. And he said, yes. And I go, oh, great. And Pastor Cherian says, well, that's no big deal. I go, what do you mean? He goes, that Hindu already has thousands of gods as he worships. He just flipped Jesus in there. Oh. See, it was not just introducing him to Jesus was needed. It was discipling him in his walk to understand who this Jesus actually is. And what we do sometimes is that we fit church in the segment of all the other busy stuff that we do. I have my church stuff. I have my work stuff. I have my family stuff. I have my casual stuff. I have all these other things that I fit into my life. And God does not come a priority over any of it. It's just part of those segments. And sometimes none of them ever really twine together very well. He's telling us he wants to be a part of it all. He sees every aspect of our life. He wants to be woven in into your work life. He wants to be woven in into your family life. He wants you to be the most incredible parent that you ever thought was possible when you invite him to be a part of that. There's a lot of great books out there. I'm not against reading. I read an average of 25 books a year. I love to read. I haven't had an original thought in decades because I read so much. But I want you to know this, church, is that understanding who he is that I'm not just fitting him into those aspects of my life. He is all those things. I want his guidance, his wisdom, because every one of our lives are different. Every one of our lives are unique. When I was a single adult pastor, I would be talking about the divorce and recovery issues in people's lives. And I had one single adult making a statement to another single adult, because they went through a divorce, and they says, oh, I know exactly how you feel. And that person looked at him and says, no, you don't. He says, wait a minute, I've gone through that. Yeah, but you didn't go through my situation. See, every one of us are unique, and God doesn't have a cookie cutter Christian. He has this uniqueness of our walk that he wants to be a part of it, because he is forming you in the uniqueness of your character to be able to be conformed into his image. Often, I love to meet new people. Man, I love to meet new people. Why? Because I'm able to see another aspect of the glory of God in them that is not in me. Because, you see, God is way too big for me to show everything. Aren't you glad of that? So then I see this aspect of God in this life. Then I see that aspect of God in that life. Now he's gotten bigger. Then I see this aspect of God in their life. And now he's gotten much bigger. And as each person, then I'm able to see that glory of God in their lives, God continues to grow. And I realize that I have a relationship with someone that is much, much bigger than me. And those eyes, those flaming eyes, he's saying, I'm here with you. I'm in this journey with you. And I am so excited for what the future holds, because I am that future. See, church, God doesn't want to just be a part of our life. He wants all of us, lock, stock, and barrel. See, when I look at him, he's more than just this figment of my imagination. He's not this old guy up there in heaven in white hair sitting on a throne. He is one who has dominion and authority over all the nations. He is the one who his kingdom will never be destroyed. And the beauty of this is that the plans that Jeremiah 29:11 says, that I have plans for your life, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. He's the one who's able to have those plans worked out in your life, because he's standing in the midst of us. And he's going to be a part of it. Those plans are unstoppable plans. Unstoppable when you allow him to become a part of that. So as you gaze upon this last days of 2019, let his royal power and his priestly figure, that one who has eyes of fire, who has a gold breastplate, who stands in the midst of us, who has declared that he has dominion over all things, he is saying, look at me. And where is he asking you to look? He's saying, I want you to see it in this word. In 2020, don't allow a day go by without opening the word of some way or form. I have people who has an app on their phone that sends them a scripture of the day? Anybody? Look at that. Yeah. And then you pass those on to me, so I get 20 scriptures a day sent on. Oh, pastor, this is really good. And it is. But he wants you to take that to heart, because he wants you to see him, that he is in your life, in the midst. When he says in the midst of the church, that means not the building, that means the people. He's in your midst. So what are you facing in 2020? Now, we have all types of stuff that's coming our way, don't we? We have things that we're excited about. We have things that we're worried about. We have things that we're anxious about. But here's what I want you to do, is that as you are seeing those things, I want you to gaze upon him and place him right in the midst of those circumstances. If it's areas of dealing with the family, put him there. See him in the midst. Because I guarantee, as you see him in the midst of it all, the whole atmosphere begins to change because he is there. When you see him in that hospital room or that doctor's office, or when you're writing that check for your bills and realizing that there's not enough money in that account to pay for all those bills, don't think that, my, am I in trouble. Think, God, we got to do something here, because you are my Jehovah Jireh, and he can provide, church. He can provide in ways that you've never dreamt that was possible. How many of you have experienced God's financial miracles in your life? Amen. Look, hold those hands up. Look, absolutely. Now, I want you to see those hands, because at times when we're going through it on our own, we think that we are on our own and that nothing is going to happen, but he is no respecter of man. I need to gaze upon him in that future that he says, I am there in your midst. So, church, what is blocking your view of him today? What are you allowing to come into your life that is distracting you away from seeing who he is? And what he's doing is that he wants to reveal that to you, and he says, I want to get rid of it. I want to remove it. And I want you to see who I am in spite of all the things that could be happening. But here's what gets me really excited. Because he is more than a conqueror. He tells us that he is able to make all things possible in our lives. I look at the negative sometimes way too much, and then I look at the positive. I need to see, God, you have something in store. Walk with excitement. Let that trumpet of God sound in you and say, see who I am. I am there in your midst. God has something for you. Worship team, would you come, please? Would you stand with me, church? Just give me some music in the background, okay, Isabel? What happens at the end of a year? We're tired. We're wore out. As much as we love the holidays, we're so happy that they're over with. And in that, we kind of coast into the new year. We don't focus on what God may have for us. We focus on getting out of what we were just experiencing, thinking, now life could get back to normal. I don't want a normal life. I want a life filled with his presence. I want a life filled with that expectancy of the absolute impossible to come about. I want a life filled with passion, a life filled with fulfillment, as his word says, that he came for us that we can have that full life. I don't want a half cup life. I want a full cup life in Jesus Christ. He wants you to experience that this year. But it's your choice, church. It's your opportunity of saying, Lord, let's do this together. Because you're in that midst. The amazing thing, church, is that he's always there. We're just not looking for him. We're looking at all the other stuff. He is there. And when you see him, walk with that confidence and that assurance that he is about to do something greater than you've ever experienced, not in just 2019, in all the years of your life, because he has plans for you. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? With heads bowed, people pray. There is those here this morning is saying, I am so glad that 2019 is gone. It was a tough year. There was disappointments. There were failures. There's things that occurred in my life that I never saw coming. And it left me devastated. But I want you to know, my friend, God is in the restoring business, the renewing business. And he's able to do this in your life when you focus not on those things that occurred that are so negative, but when you focus on him who so desires to make you more than a conqueror, who desires to be able to do the impossible in and through your life. But what he is asking of you this morning is to see him. In seeing him, you're welcoming him to be a part of your life today, in the year to come. With heads bowed and everyone praying, if I'm speaking to you right now, it's not been a year that you have enjoyed, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm looking forward to God being a part of 2020 more than I could ever dream possible. I come in agreement with you in prayer. What I ask of you is just to look up at me. Amen. 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 Yes. Heads being yes. 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 I don't know if any heads are down. Yes. 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 And now what happens in that is that out of the act of the will comes the act of obedience. I want you to walk in that obedience of what he is asking of you in the days to come. I want you to yield to whatever he's asking of you. As simple or difficult or challenging it may be, I want you to do that because he will empower you to walk through that together with him. So, would you do me a favor? Would you take the hand of a person beside you? Thank you. Thank you. I don't want anybody to be alone. Now I want you to come in that agreement with each other. As you could feel that presence of that person's hand, as real as that is, as real as his word, because it's yea and amen. And when he says, I'm with you, I'm telling you, not only is he with you, he's for you. So, Heavenly Father, it is in the beauty of your presence we celebrate, Lord, that knowing that as 2019 comes to an end and we entering into 2020, Lord, you have plans for our lives that we've never even could have imagined possible. But I believe, Lord, as we gaze upon you, we will begin to see the possibilities of those very things. You don't hide them from us. This is not hide and seek. This is a revelation in which you want to bring into our lives. We've just been looking in the wrong place. We want to see you in the midst of it all. So Heavenly Father, I pray for that restoration in these lives. I pray that you would restore that hope. Remove that fear. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to those bodies, restorations to those families, that you would bring, Lord, a new work, a new direction in those finances, Lord. I pray for a spiritual awakening that will come in the lives of each and every individual here as they have opened their heart to you to see that you are there in the future to come, and that they will see that work of God, because you are about to do something greater than we have ever dreamt possible, because this is a new season. This is a time of growth. This is a time of restoration. This is a time of restoring. This is a time of renewing. God has plans for our lives. And so I come in agreement with this congregation that, Lord, that you will do something fresh and new, not only in the lives of these individuals, but I pray that you would use our lives in 2020, Lord, to be able to touch our city with the message of Jesus Christ, that they will see that not only does this church loves them, Lord, that God loves them so much more. And Lord, allow us to be a part of this great move that you're about to unleash upon us. And we will give you all the glory and all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lead us in a song, would you, Isabel?